out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 4th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've got news from all over the world today, and we're going to begin with Germany. Shocking news. How could anybody have foreseen this happening? A total of 12 Germans, white Germans, in the town of Amberg were brutally beaten by a mob of asylum seekers from Syria, Iran and Afghanistan in what has been described as an orgy of violence. The attacks occurred on Saturday, with German media initially reporting that 9 people had been injured by the asylum seekers, but new reports indicate that at least 12 people were beaten by the group of 4 young men aged 17 to 19 years old, German tabloid Bild reports. Remember, this comes after the news on New Year's Eve of all these attacks that went off in Germany, rioting, setting fire to things, setting fireworks off at a train station, robbing Germans on the train, having fights with Germans, with reports of white Germans saying that they feel like they're in the middle of a civil war. And it really does look like war has kicked off in Europe. A war that's been initiated by the intruders, by these people that are claiming to be asylum seekers. Reports claim that the group of asylum seekers had spent hours, starting in the evening at around 6:30 p.m, roaming around the centre of the town and beating random people who passed by them. So this wasn't a case of a group of white lads saying something to set these fake asylum seekers off. They went out looking for white people to attack, to beat up. Among the victims of the random attacks, and it says here, random attacks, they're not random attacks because they were all German. The targets were all German. That's not a random attack. They didn't attack a Japanese, or they didn't attack an African, and they didn't then go and attack a German. Every one of these targets that they attacked was German. That's not random. That's a targeted assault. And yet it says here in Breitbart that it's random attacks. And there's a pattern here. There's a pattern of white people being attacked by non-whites. It's a pattern that has existed ever since non-whites were imported into white countries. And yet it's always reported as if it's random, as if this is an incident completely on its own, completely separate from any other attacks. And yet it's not, because there's quite a clear pattern that we observe. If there wasn't a pattern, we wouldn't have any news to cover in our podcasts here. But we do every day. We see the same pattern. We see white people being attacked by non-whites. We don't see it happening the other way around. And yet we're told that we are these nasty racist people that are always oppressing the non-whites. So that is just not true. It's the non-whites that are always violently attacking the whites. Among the victims of the so-called random attacks was a 13-year-old boy named Nino M, who was kicked in the stomach, and a 29-year-old landscaper named Marco S, who was hit in the face by members of the mob. A 17-year-old girl was also harassed by the group and called a prostitute by the asylum seekers. When the girl's 17-year-old friends attempted to intervene, they were also on the receiving end of violence. Now, she should be counting herself lucky that she wasn't gang raped by them, because we hear of that happening just as often as we hear of violence happening. And they have the potential for that just as much as they have the potential for mugging people, for attacking people with machetes, for going out on terrorist sprees. I mean, this goes from the non-religious type, which you just want to attack white people anyway. They have a grievance against white people, to the religious types that have a grievance against white people because we're not Muslims. The determining factor is the fact that they're non-white. It's not religion. It's the fact that they are non-white. If you have one race and another race in the same territory, there's going to be friction between the two of them. It doesn't matter if you tell both races that they're actually citizens of the same state. There is still going to be friction between them, especially if you tell one race that all the reasons why they don't have the same life outcomes as the other race is because they're being oppressed, then they're going to have a grudge against that other race. And there's also news that was released today, or I overheard on the news, 2/3 of these asylum seekers in Germany are out of work. 2/3 of them. So if you think there was over 1 million, that probably about 1.5 million that came in when Merkel opened the borders and welcomed the third world into Germany, that's 1 million people that are on benefits that the German taxpayers are paying for. There is no benefit whatsoever to having these people in our countries. The money that goes out to pay for them, on top of that, you've then got these violent attacks that are increasing. They're not quieting down. We're not getting less of them. We're getting more and more of them. And what is the government's response to this? Well, we can look at Sweden just as an example, where they're now threatening to give people 4-year prison sentence for sharing videos of white girls being beheaded by Muslims. The government's response to this is to try to silence and censor the people that are highlighting these crimes that are going on. And what signal does that send to the people that are carrying out the crimes? It tells them that what they are doing, they is sanctioned by the state. It tells them that they're not going to be punished. It tells them that they're quite justified in carrying out these crimes, and that the German state will protect them. In fact, the German state is still protecting them now, because there are calls to deport these so-called asylum seekers, and apparently they can't, because they're from Syria, Iran, and Afghanistan, and they say that they will be persecuted if they're sent back there. So the German state is now talking about having to change the constitution just so that it can deport troublemakers that have come into Germany specifically to cause trouble. So again, the criminals see that there is nothing that can actually be done about them committing crimes. They will still be in Germany, these people that carried this out. They'll still be looked after in Germany. They won't be sent back in disgrace to their own countries. They're being rewarded, basically, for carrying out this violence. They're being rewarded. They're told, well, you can still stay in the white country. You can still have all the benefits of the white country. You can still have the medical care. You can still have the education. But you'll still have a roof over your head. Even if it's in prison, you'll still be fed. So they're just rewarded for doing this. And they don't think like white people. They don't need a reason, really, to do this sort of thing. They just do this sort of thing out of boredom. And you can see that from when they get asked, why did you carry out these crimes? Well, just because we could. That's the reason why, because we could. We've heard rapists say it, that's why they did it, is just because they could. We've heard people that have murdered white women out in South Africa saying that they did it just for something to do. The idea of trying to contribute to society and having fulfillment from contributing to society doesn't come naturally to them. It's not part of their instincts. It's not part of their intuition that's what they need to be doing to be finding fulfillment. For these people to find fulfillment, they just want to take. They just want excitement. They just want to carry out violence, particularly against white people, who the media is constantly telling them is responsible for all the problems that they have in their lives. Several other teens claimed that the asylum seekers called them a racial epithet and attacked them, with one of the victims saying, "Three of my friends were beaten, I was beaten down and kicked." Will there be any charges of racism against these non-whites? Of course there won't be, because we're told that non-whites can't be racist. Another victim was pushed down a flight of stairs by the mob, and yet another required hospital treatment due to the extent of their injuries. After fleeing the area, the police managed to catch up to the asylum seekers, with one calling the female officer a C-word during their arrest. And don't forget, none of this has been provoked. None of this has been provoked. These were just innocent white people going about their normal daily business that were then attacked by this foreign army that Merkel has brought into Germany. Hamburg Mayor Michael Cerny, a member of the Bavarian Christian Social Union, took to social media to condemn the violence, saying, "Of course, it should not be generalised, but on the whole, these idiots have done a disservice to peaceful and committed asylum seekers." Where are the peaceful and committed asylum seekers? Because every day we hear about crimes that they have carried out in white countries. And none of those people that are in Germany are asylum seekers. They've all come from a European country, and no European countries are at war. So none of the foreigners in Germany are actual asylum seekers. And even Sajid Javid, the incompetent Home Secretary of Britain, has pointed this out, that people that come to Britain claiming to be seeking asylum are frauds, because France is not at war, and none of the countries that surround Germany are at war either. So they're all liars before they've even come into the country. And here's this politician saying that they're peaceful and committed asylum seekers. If they were committed asylum seekers, they would have sought asylum in Turkey, not travelled half the way across Europe to go on the rampage in Germany. The violence echoes that of several other incidents in Germany where migrants have gone on a violent rampage, including in Bautzen in 2016, when migrants fought with local Germans. A similar incident occurred a year later in the town of Peine, with asylum seekers smashing the cars of locals who eventually confronted them and provoked a riot. And last year in Duisburg, a mob of around 50 men, all from migrant backgrounds, fought each other with various weapons, including iron bars and machetes. And just think, this is in Europe where this is going on. This is tribal warfare that's now happening on the streets of Europe. We are seeing a real uptick in the war, especially in 2018, just with the violence that we saw in London with the stabbings and the shootings and more shootings in London than there actually were in New York. And this is showing no sign of abating. And it can't abate. It can't abate when you have two different races in one territory. The only solution is to remove them. Well, I said we've got a couple of other stories from around the world to get into today. The next one we've got is actually from America. Horrifying Snapchat footage has been released showing two juvenile Negroes playing with guns. That's sensible of them, isn't it? Just moments before one of them, aged 15, accidentally kills his 17-year-old friend before then shooting himself dead. You can always count on Negro intelligence, I guess, to eventually get rid of their numbers. We've got a billion of them in Africa at the moment. They say there's going to be 2 billion of them by 2050, just imagine the incompetence that is going to be let loose on the world if they are free to actually leave Africa. Devin Hodges, 15, was with three other boys in a cramped shed in Lawrenceville, Georgia, when the handgun went off by mistake, fatally wounding Chad Carlos. But the thing is, these guys were playing with it, brandishing it around as if it's a toy. The chances of it going off, I would say, were actually fairly high. This is why Negroes shouldn't be allowed to have guns. If you were to ban Negroes from having guns, you would do away with three quarters of all the gunshot injuries in America in one foul swoop. You don't need to ban guns. You just need to ban Negroes from having them. The pair, who are both believed to have gone to Discovery High School, were seen in a clip sent to their friends on social media the same evening, pointing guns at the camera. So they thought they were being very, very clever doing this, so clever that they wanted to video it and send it around the school, obviously wanting to intimidate the other kids that were at the school. Hodges and the two other boys are thought to have called the emergency services, but Chad could not be saved. Devin then turned the gun on himself as police officers pulled up on New Year's Eve. No doubt he was probably thinking that these racist white police officers were going to kill him anyway, so he thought he'd better just off himself. Gwinnett Police said after multiple interviews with witnesses, detectives learned that one of the males, Hodges, was showing the group a handgun when he accidentally fired a shot. The shot struck his friend Carlos, sitting next to him in the cramped shed. Carlos succumbed to his injuries before help could arrive. As the officers were arriving on the scene, Hodges was seen running between two homes, where he then took his own life with the handgun. Our thoughts are with the families of both these young men. The police investigation is ongoing, and it is not known where Hodges got the gun. Braylon Bennett, 15, who went to school with the two boys, said he is angry that guns have claimed the lives of his two friends. No, it's not guns that claim the lives of his two friends. It's stupidity that claimed the lives of his two friends. It's the low average IQ of the Negro that claimed the lives of those two Negroes. He was sent the Snapchat before falling asleep and then waking on New Year's Day to find out that both the teens were dead. You see, they were sending videos of themselves doing this. They thought they were very, very clever doing this. He wouldn't have been angry about it if they hadn't actually killed one another with it. He would have thought that they were pretty cool for waving these guns around. That's the Negro mentality for you. His mum, Rhonda, told DailyMail.com, "It is very sad. My son took classes with them, and he received this video just moments before the tragedy." Well, serves them right for playing around with guns, really, doesn't it? And thinking it was cool to send a video of that to the other kids at school. We've got more entertainment from the Negroes next in our final story here, and this one comes from Africa. A man, obviously a Negro man, has been accused of raping a goat in a field. Who would have guessed that a Negro would do something like that? But he says it was after asking it permission for the vile act. The animal's owner initially suspected Kennedy Kambani was trying to steal the goat, but when he returned with neighbours to nab the 21-year-old, they caught him having sex with the creature in Malawi, Africa, he told police. Police Inspector Lubrino Kitano said the owner, Mr. Pemfero Mwakulika, thought Kambali was stealing it, so he alerted the people. But when they arrived at the scene, they were shocked to see him having sexual intercourse with the goat. Kambani was apprehended and taken to a police station and charged with bestiality. He reportedly claimed he had asked the animal's permission first to have sex with it. The goat had been part of a grazing flock on the outskirts of Machinji. Then it says here, the gender of the goat has not been disclosed. That probably means it was actually a male goat, I would guess. Unless people think that you know, we're picking on these Negroes here by pointing out the very worst of them, and these sort of things don't happen very often. The Daily Mail has helpfully included a list of other instances of goat rape happening in Africa. Last November, in neighbouring Zambia, Sicko Ruben Mwaba, 22, was caged for 15 years hard labour after he was caught naked raping his pal's pregnant goat in Kasama. And earlier the same month, twisted bricky Fesolani Makubi, 33, was convicted of raping his neighbour's pregnant goat in his bed in Winterveld, South Africa. So this isn't just going on in one part of Africa. This goes on all over Africa. And these are just the few instances where the police are actually cool. Bestiality, pedophilia, baby rape, it's just common behaviour over there in Africa, just the same as cannibalism is. And these are the sort of people that our white women are being encouraged to sleep with the propaganda on the television, with the adverts showing you whites and blacks sleeping together and producing non-white mulatto children. These are the sort of people, this is what's in their blood that these white women are sleeping with. The sort of people that rape pregnant goats, the sort of people that eat human beings, the sort of people that behead albino Negroes and chop their body parts off so that they can use them as lucky charms. And don't think that this sort of thing doesn't happen once they come to European countries. The same thing happens over here as well, if they get a chance to. If a Negro's feeling horny, they will just use whatever they can grab their hands on, whatever they can lay their hands on, they will use to gratify themselves. It's just a part of their instincts. They are creatures of instinct. They act on their instincts and don't think about the consequences, because the consequences are sometime in the future. The consequences don't actually exist yet, so it doesn't bother them. This is why it's pointless having a system of law and expecting Negroes to go along with it, because it relies on them having an understanding that there are consequences to their actions. This is why they're no good at farming, because you have to think ahead with farming. You have to plant a seed and wait for the seed to grow into a plant. And that's just too much for them to think about. This is why once they get rid of the white farmers in Zimbabwe, nothing else has ever been grown there since. And it's a basket case. And the same's going to happen to South Africa if they take away that land from the white farmers. South Africa won't be able to produce enough food to feed itself. The Negroes themselves certainly aren't going to be able to do it. Now, I don't know what the Quran says about raping goats and raping animals, whether that's permitted. It probably doesn't say anything at all about it, which I guess they would take as condoning it. So long as the goat isn't a Muslim, I guess, so long as it's a infidel goat, then anything goes. Whatever their right hand possesses, they can use. Perhaps if any of our listeners are aware of what the Quran says about having sex with goats, they could let us know. We do know that the Talmud says that children, little girls can be raped so long as they're under the age of 3, and little boys can be raped so long as they are under the age of 9. That's the way that the rabbis justify it. They say that it's because they're not adults. If little girls are raped before the age of 3, it doesn't matter because it will grow back again. So they'll still be virgins when they grow up. And it's only against the law to bugger men. So little boys under the age of 9, that's fine for Jews to rape little boys under the age of 9. And that, of course, that's before you even take in the horrific circumcision ritual, which they have, where the mohel, after cutting off the foreskin, then performs fellatio on the baby. Of course, this is why Pat Little, why he had that sign saying that Jews rape babies, because part of the circumcision ritual is the fellatio of the infant, which by our modern standards is rape of a child. It may sound shocking, but how can that child give consent to that going on? So whether it's Islam or whether it's Judaism, both of them are completely barbaric religions with completely barbaric activities associated with them that we shouldn't have in our countries. If they want to do it in their own countries, fair enough. But we shouldn't allow it in ours, the same as we shouldn't allow their horrific treatment of animals that comes under the heading of halal slaughter or kosher slaughter. That shouldn't be allowed in our countries either. If we're going to say that we cannot have female genital mutilation, we cannot have female circumcision, then why is it that we allow male circumcision, male genital mutilation? And on top of the male genital mutilation, there is the fellatio that the rabbi carries out afterwards. And none of that is instructions that are given in the Bible. In the Old Testament, where it talks about circumcision, it just talks about cutting a bit of the foreskin off. The Jews have three parts to their ritual. They don't just cut a bit of the foreskin off, they fold it back in a what must be an incredibly painful procedure, and then the rabbi sucks the blood from the penis. And there have been instances where these infants have contracted herpes from the rabbi. There's usually a couple of instances a year. Michael Hoffman has done some research on this. You'll find that at his site about these infants that have contracted herpes. I think one of them has even died from this ritual. And this goes on in Western countries, in European countries. It goes on because we have this crazy idea that all religions are the same, because the Jewish religion followed on from Christianity, because they claim that it has something to do with the Old Testament, even though it's the negation of the Old Testament. Most people just think, well, it must be similar to Christianity, just a little bit different. And people think the same about Islam. They think, well, because Islam claims to be a brother faith to Christianity and Judaism, and because it talks about some of these characters from the Old Testament, like Noah and Moses, it must just be similar to it. And of course, they're not. Neither of them are. Both of them are false religions. Both of them are just about their particular people taking over the world. And Islam is about Muslims taking over the world. They make no bones about it, whether it's by conquest or through immigration, or whether it's just through how fertile they are. It doesn't matter what the jihad is. That's what Islam is all about. And Judaism is all about taking over the world through subterfuge and corruption and fleecing the goyim, and all the rest of the world are there to be slaves to them. Christianity tells us that we will inherit the world if we obey our God and if we obey his commandments, such as no usury, no adulteration of the race, no homosexuality, no foreigners, no open borders, no seeking the goodwill of the foreign nations. We should be having nothing whatsoever to do with them, and we should be turning the cheek to our neighbours. We should be loving our neighbour as ourselves, which means we should all be nationalists. And if we were to obey the Christian commandments, we would inherit the world. But we don't. We've turned our back on them. And because we've turned our back on them, we have these sick crimes going on in our countries. We have rampaging asylum seekers in Germany attacking white people. We have Negroes in our own countries with machetes beheading people. And we have Muslims in our countries grooming our young girls and raping them. And the answer to all of this is to become a nationalist and support your local nationalist organisations and support your nationalist organisations, whoever they are and wherever they are. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan at Radio.